Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
So God can start something.
Amen.
That's a word for you right there.
Amen.
Sometimes you got to stop some things.
That's good. That's
so God can start some things. You in the way.
That's good. Yeah.
You doing what you think is right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's okay.
Right.
But it's not the best thing.
Right.
You know. And I'm going to go ahead and tell Mabel what advice I gave her. She said that she was praying with the daughter that was being contentious and rebellious. And I said, stop. Stop praying with her. Because as long as you continue to give her the courtesy of prayer with her, and she still holds that rebellion and that spirit of contention in her, she's going to ignore what God is trying to do with her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I said, you can pray for her.
Mm-hmm.
But don't afford her your presence in that vein.
Come on. Yes.
And they, of course, like y'all said, like, huh? Sometimes you just need to move.
That's it.
You in the way.
Because
see, she would have been cool. Mama praying for me and I'm ugly. Mama praying for me and she praying with me.
Okay.
Yep. I said, separate yourself. And he said, I say, if you do what I ask you to do, I guarantee it's going to work out. Look at the testimony.
Come on.
Sometimes you just have to do that.
Amen.
Sometimes you just have to do that. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll tell you, I just want you guys to look at verse 31 first. We're going to still deal in this 1 Corinthians thing that I think is so important to the saints in this day and age, okay? I think that 12, verse 31, I think it's important that we deal with the saints. Yeah, 12, 31. Got glasses, can't even see through them, but that's okay. So, you know, it's one of those things whereas Paul is saying, if you look at 12 and 31, it says, after all the gifts and after we know the unity of the gifts and we know the purpose of the gifts, is to what? Edify the saints and to glorify God. That is the only purpose for the gift, whatever God has given you. It is not meant for self. It is meant for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't exhibit your gift for everybody else, you are operating what God has given you illegally. And God is not pleased with those who try to do that. Because it's all about you. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. That's why I played that song. And we need to glorify God by caring for one another. The whole theme of the New Testament is care, love your brother and sister as you love yourself. He tells them an old commandment he didn't give them. But then he said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. But it's an old commandment. And it's only new because they wasn't practicing it. Loving your neighbor was given back in the Old Testament. That ain't nothing new. God has always measured your relationship with him by your relationship with another person. He even said this. He said, as you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. Not to the important people, but to the least. He said, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And the people were kind of like, well, when did we do all that and when were you all that? He said, when you went into the prisons, I was there. When you went and dealt with the homeless, I was there. When you dealt with the left out and the least, I was there. And as you done to them, it was just like doing unto me. And he says, let me show you a more excellent way. So let's start at 13 and 1, and we're going to focus, and we're going to go down to 4, maybe 5. Go to start at 13:1. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. after 12 and 31. Go ahead. So he's going to show us a more excellent way. And we all know we're very familiar passage, but I want to bring something out in this passage. Go ahead.
If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Mm-hmm. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing.
Stop right there. So the common theme in this is this word called love. And Paul is weighing it to the gifts. Mm-hmm. He's saying, you're gifted, but if your gift is not actuated through and by love, then it's not worth anything. It's interesting to me that as gifted as we may be, there's a prerequisite for our gift to be effective, and it's love. And there was a situation back in the Gospels, whereas they were gifted, but they couldn't do it, and he didn't really say, but there's another part of this love, and you'll see this in Matthew chapter 17, go there, and 19 and 20.
Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 and 20.
Read that.
Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move."
Stop. Now, when we read in 1 Corinthians, it said that if I got the faith to move the mountain, mm-hmm, and don't have love, I don't have anything. Mm-hmm. Now we read backwards to see the issue was not that they didn't have the power. They didn't understand to activate the power. They needed love. He said, "Oh, you a little faith." And then I would say, "Oh, you a little faith lacking love." Because they had experienced the authority to do these things, but they were doing them, and what they expected was they could always do them. But the motive to do them is more important than the power to do them. They just wanted to do it. Because guess what? When they did it the first time, they ran back to Jesus and said, "Jesus, Jesus, you know what? Even the demons tell us what to, we can tell them what to do." And Jesus looked at them and probably shook his head and said, "You marvel at that, huh? You should be happy that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life." That's love. That lets you know that at some point we get so caught up in our gifting that we forget that our gifting comes through love. Our gifting was given to us by love, and the Holy Spirit was sent to us through love. And if we don't know how and what that actually means, then what we do is we're selling the body of Christ short. Because again, love is sacrifice. Love is obedient. Love is kind. Love never seeks its own, as we would keep reading. And if love never seeks its own, the only reason you're not being effective is because you have a wrong motive and you're using your gift wrong. You're not seeking to love. You're seeking to show. The Corinthian church's problem was they were gifted, but they were showy. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to be heard. Everybody has a word. Everybody has a song. Everybody does what everybody does. And we go back to the Judges, and everybody is doing what is right in their own eyes.
Amen.
But you're not pleasing God because you're not doing it for the collective. You're doing it for self. You're not bringing anything to the table because it's not gathered in love. It's not hidden in love. It's not fostered by this love of sacrificing self and what I want for everybody else. So yeah, you can have the faith that you can have the faith that moves mountains, but that faith that's not going up by love can't do a thing. And then some of you might say, this is not going to be a long message because I want you to focus on this. He said, he said they couldn't do it because they had little faith. And then Paul explains that this love thing is more important than the ability to move mountains, because if you don't have love, moving mountains is not important. So the biggest mountain you need to move is between your ears.
Amen.
You need a renewed mind.
Amen.
So you can have the love, so you can exercise the faith. And some of you think, well, this was so revelatory for me. How many of you want great faith? Raise your hand. Great faith. This is not a trick question. You always thinking I'm trying to get you. I'm not. I want great faith. The Bible says you can have great faith, right?
Yes.
And we can have the faith of a mustard seed.
Yes.
And the faith of a mustard seed operating in love can remove what? Mountains. Follow me. Go to 1 Peter. Because Sister Leisha was all in my message yesterday. She just didn't even know it. Go to chapter 4. Go to verse 7. And read through 11. So we have the love, we have the gift, and we're going to see something in this. Because we see faith is needed to operate the gift, but love is needed to make it effective and infective. Infection means you have infiltrated somebody else with it. Effective is the outcome. Well, effective is the love for which it's given in. Okay. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. Watch this.
The end of all things is at hand. Therefore,
time is running out. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
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 Amen. So we see even Peter says, your gift is not for you. And that these gifts are given by grace, which means you didn't earn it. But your gift has to be worked through faith, right? And the Bible says he gives every man a what? A measure of faith. This is where we get hung up at. He gives every man a measure of faith, and you'll tell a person, well, I don't have the faith you have. You have more than I have. But that ain't what the Bible teaches. The Bible says one faith, one baptism. So the issue is not you getting more. Because he said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you can remove mountains. And if you activate your faith through love, that should be no problem. I submit to you, your problem is not the fact that you don't have enough faith. The problem is you're not activating and working the faith God gave you to remove the mountain. He gave you enough faith to remove a mountain, but you got to learn how to use it in love.
Amen.
In love.
Yes.
In love.
All of us in here got the faith of Jesus Christ in us.
Amen.
So you looking at other people and saying, well, how do you show so much faith? They work in the faith that was a mustard seed. And that faith that's worked as a mustard seed grows into great faith. You don't need more faith. You need to work the faith that you got in love. The gift that God has given you in love. Everything for everybody else but self. And if you do that, God will use everybody else to take care of you.
Amen.
Think how beautiful this is. I don't need to worry about take care of me, because y'all will take care of me. Y'all, you don't. If you really walking in this thing, you trust God that we're going to help take care of you if you need it.
Yes.
Because we love you. And love never what? Fails. We haven't even got to that point. That's in 13 too. Love never fails and love never seeks its own. And if love never fails, faith will not fail. But there's going to come a time when we read further that you're not going to even need faith. You're not going to need hope. But it says love is going to endure. So love is an eternal factor of God. When you get to heaven, you will still be exercising love. And you won't need faith because you'll be with God.
Amen.
You won't need hope because hope won't be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
You won't need tongues because there's only going to be one language. You won't need knowledge because when you go to heaven, he said you're going to see him like he truly is, and he's going to know you like you've been known. You won't need prophetic word. But as we walk through this world together and we see the connection between faith, hope, and love and the giftedness and the more excellent path, you're going to spend the rest of your life unpacking the love of the cross and what it gave us. You got to get deeper in and beyond the surface of looking at what was horrible and see the beauty of what it brought about.
Amen.
You couldn't have resurrection power without the love of the cross. So you got love and ugly all mixed in one at the cross. But for saints, how are you looking at it now? Are you still looking at the horror of it? I'm looking at the what it brought about. I understand how horrible it was, but without that horror, you couldn't have this love, this great love. There's no greater love than this, than one man, who's Jesus, gave his life for all of us.
Amen.
And he gifted every one of you in here. And he loved every one of you in here. And he provides for every one of you in here. And he was providing for you when you was a full-blown heathen.
Amen.
He ain't stopped loving you. It's just now you can look back and recognize, boy, what a fool was I, but he still loved me.
Yes.
I was sitting in prison, but he still loved me.
Yes, Lord.
Your shoes were under somebody else's bed, and he still loved you.
Yes.
You done stole, and he still loved you.
Yes,
you done lied, and he still loved you. He never turned his back on you. And now that you are saint of God, you have no right, no reason. You shouldn't even phantom turning your back on him. And all he's saying, you want to represent me, love each other. You can have all the knowledge in the world, he said. You can have the knowledge that he said, you can have all the knowledge, all the prophecy, all the gift of language. But without the common denominator of love, it's useless. It's just a noisy gong. It's just empty air. It's pontificating and placing yourself in places and trying to prove to people how smart you are, but you're not showing any love to them. What I gained from going to that bank with us, I saw ladies who are super duper smart, but I saw women who loved. I saw women who sacrificed. Come from all different walks of life. But the one thing I noticed in all of them, what I heard was, in the spirit was, God has been good to me.
Amen.
And wherever I am, wherever accolades I get the glory to God.
Amen.
You don't have to look at nobody else and look at their great faith. If you think they got great faith, Your issue is you're looking at them thinking, what's the secret? Show me the way. Paul said, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. It's love. So wherever you think you lacking in faith, check your love-o-meter. Measure up to the faith and the love that God has given you. You don't need more of it. You need to exercise what you got. Because just like a muscle, you don't need more muscle. You gain more muscle when you work that muscle out. It grows from the working. The Bible says we're saved unto good works. And James says without faith is dead. It's impossible to please God. And then he also says, I'm going to prove to you that my faith is real by the way I work to serve others. And then Peter just said, do everything to serve one another. I don't know how many times we got to hear this in the scripture to get it straight. You know when the Bible says, when we pray, we pray amiss? Somebody find that scripture one right quick. God just gave me that. Fine, it's in James. It might be in chapter 2. It might be at verse 4. It might be. Around that area. Or 14. Around that area. When we pray, we pray amiss.
James 4 verse 3.
It's 4:3? Okay, James 4:3. Let's go. Read that.
You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us?
Stop. He yearns jealously over the spirit that he made to dwell in us. What he's saying is, he put the spirit of faith in you. He put the spirit of love in you. And when you're not using it to glorify him, you are quenching the spirit. You have not. And the way we can say this is, it's kind of funny because we say it for, you have not because you ask not. That's what you say, right? So you think because you haven't asked for it, you don't have it. But that ain't what they say. That says, when you ask, you're asking wrongly. You have not because you ask wrongly. You ask according to your passions, your flesh. When is the last time you prayed for every name in this church that you can remember? I'm not going to tell you to show your hands. When is the last time you prayed for that wayward person in your family that you're not getting along with right now? When is the last time you prayed to seek an understanding when you didn't get any understanding? It's that love thing. When you live up to the measure of love that was given you, you will have great faith, great love, great works, and you will please God. Because it's not about you. It's about Jesus. That's what motivates all of us, should motivate all of us. When you come, you're coming to fellowship with the saints whose focus is on Jesus. And as we focus on Jesus, we focus on each other, and therefore we get fed one to another by each one's gift. And we can understand everybody has a bad day. We're not talking about the commonality of bad days that everybody don't have. Because God has already said that stuff is common. But what's uncommon is the love that God had for us. It's an unreal love. It's an uncanny love. It's a love that we can't even imagine. We don't even understand that he even said neither death nor life. Think about that. Neither death nor life can separate you. Neither angel nor power nor principality can separate you from the love of God. Because it cost God the Father his son to give it to you so you can love on somebody else.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you.
That's what you got it for. You ain't get it for no other reason. If you don't have a house, oh well, talk to some of these people in this room. They might have a house for you.
Come on,
you're sick, you need something, talk to somebody in this room. I bet they got an answer for you. But your pride steps in the way and say, I'm going to only celebrate God when things are going well for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to cry out to God when things are going bad for me. God said, you need to be talking to me on a continuous basis. You don't need to, he said, pray without ceasing. Yes. God said, you need to be talking to me when ain't nothing going on. Because right. Guess what? Something coming.
Oh, yes.
You get through one thing and here comes something else. Yes. We all in this room have lived long enough to know that's how it works.
Yes.
You know, behind all that joy you done had, vacation you done went on, yes. And next thing you know, I already knew a storm is coming because that's how it works. I received some bad news from my brother no sooner than I got back. But I understand where to place that. I placed that on the foot of Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
And I keep on loving.
Amen.
Don't let what you go through distract you from what God is trying to test you with. Because he's trying to let the devil and your flesh test you to see if you're going to always lean on him. It said, lean not to what?
Your own
understanding. And all what? And he will do what?
Direct your path.
So let me get this straight, because I'm not the smartest cookie in the bunch. If I lean on my understanding, I disconnect my way from the path and the direction that God wants me to go to.
Yeah.
But if I lean on his understanding, yes, which is found in his word, yes, then he will direct my path.
Yes.
And any path that God puts you on, you're going to succeed.
Jesus. Yes.
It don't make a difference how many turns and twists you go through. Yes. But you know, if you stay on God's path, even with the turns and twists of life, that you stay focused on God, that you'll make it to the other side.
Yes.
The problem with the children of Israel is they walked in circles for 40 years because they wouldn't get on the path of God.
Right.
A 3-day journey turned to 40-year issue for them because they wouldn't walk with God. But God kept his promise. God didn't say he's going to get there in 3 days. God said, if you obey me, you'll get there. See, God has this funny way of saying stuff, and we think it's automatically supposed to happen, but it might not happen for you because you're too disobedient. It got to happen to your children who will be obedient. Ask Manasseh and ask Josiah. People looking at me crazy.
Yeah.
Because you don't know your word.
Uh-huh.
Manasseh was a bad king.
Yeah.
He was a son of Hezekiah.
Yeah.
And Manasseh brought back all the idols after his daddy died. He even offered up his son on the altar.
Yeah.
He even put pagan gods inside the temple. And that's in 1 Corinthians, you have the mirror of that. They were bringing pagan practices inside the house of God, inside the church. Church doing the same thing. The word was rare at that time. The word was lost.
Mm-hmm.
Manasseh dies after his time and reign. And then his son comes into play. Amnon. And he comes into play, and he is the father of Josiah. And he only reigned 2 years, and they killed him.
Yeah.
Because he was so wicked. So you would think with this generational curse of wickedness, then how is Josiah going to break it? Y'all who love these generational curses when it's really bad decisions you're making. I know I'm going to get no amen on that one. You'd rather blame it on mama and daddy and papa and them than say, you know what? I'm making the same decisions they make. I've doubled down on what they do. So now you're sitting there. Here comes Josiah, he's a child, when he takes the office. And he starts a reconstruction project of the temple. Now you have to remember, his grandfather was evil, considered the worst king ever. His father was evil, considered the worst king ever. And you would think Josiah would be just like his daddy. But Josiah was a baby when he took the throne. And he started a reconstruction project inside the temple. And as they were looking and doing stuff, they looked in a little cubby hole and they found this book. And then nobody know what the book was. You know what that lets me know? The book can be in your house, but the book, you don't even know what it say. Mm-hmm. Y'all got the book, the pad, the phone in your house with the word of God. You don't know what it really say. You just know you got it. It's lost. The word of God is lost in God's house. So they get the book, and Josiah gets to read the book, and he says, somebody needs to really explain to me what I'm seeing, because what I'm seeing, we ain't doing. So eventually Josiah gets the interpretation of the book, and a prophet just said he needs to tell Josiah who sent you, you need to do everything that's in this book. Josiah did everything that was in that book. And for his time, because he read the book, he got delivered from what his father and them had laid down. So you want deliverance from where you at? Get into the book of love, and then you'll learn how to love and you can be delivered. It's the lack of knowledge of this book. You know how to do church. Everybody in this room know how to do church. But do you know this word? Effectively, contextually, integrated into your thought process every day. But the best way to start this process is, I'm going to learn this word so I can love on you.
Amen.
You want the secret to whatever you think I got? I learned it not to be smart. I learned it to love. Because every time I unpack a good page, I find Jesus on it, Old Testament, New Testament, learning how to love. It's the love that he has shed abroad in our hearts. It's his word that he has in our heart that we might not what? Sin against him. Well, what's the ultimate sin? Not to love. Not to have that compassion for one another. To think more of ourselves than we should. Even in Peter said, think sober-minded. Sober-minded. And he also said, stay in control of yourself. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself, do I got control of myself? And see, this is a choice you make. God is not going to come down on high and wave his wand and get you. No, this is, it said, you got to maintain self-control. And you may self-control by submitting to God. You may love by submitting to God. You exercise your faith by submitting to God. You exercise your gift by submitting to God. Yes. You do everything to the glory of God.
Yes.
And when you do everything to the glory of God, it's going to work yourself out.
Right.
Now, did you hear when Ava started this thing, when she said? 2018. This is 2024. She had to wait on that thing. But while it was going on, she had a sister and a mother praying. Sister and a mother being faithful. Sister and mother crying out to God. Sister and mother just hanging with God. God didn't say when he gonna do it. God said that he would do it. But God had to get the maximum credit and the maximum effect. He had to do stuff in his time. See, God does stuff in his time, so you can't say you did anything. All you did was pray. And that's part of your reasonable service. You ain't do nothing extra. You did what you was commanded to do. See how simple this is? This ain't hard. We make it hard because we try to delve into areas that really are secondary issues. They're fun to talk about. When you sit around a whole bunch of theologians, it's fun. But it don't save nobody. It don't make nobody love nobody. Why do we argue about gifts? Why do we do that? Any gift. When God just told us, don't raise no gift. Raise me up. How can you lift me up and you put in so much time lifting the gift that I gave you up?
Amen.
I said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw the drawing. You just got to obey. Trust and obey. It's the only way. That's what they say. Trust and obey is the only way. So what am I saying? And I'm bringing to a close. What needs to happen is you need to live up to the measure of faith that God has given you. You need to live up to the measure of love that he has afforded you. You need to live up to the light that he has given you. And when you do that, your gift is unstoppable. And then and only then will your gift make room for you. You say you're gifted, but everywhere you turn, ain't no room for you. You know why? Because you haven't practiced love with your gift. God knows if he puts you in front of a whole bunch of people, your head is going to explode. Because you can start doing it for the laughs and the amens and the pat on the back, and then you'll leave God behind. So he sits there and lets you go to the grave with a gift that hasn't been used. Because let me tell you something, as unique as your gift is, one gift don't stop God. Don't think more of yourself than you should. Don't think that you're the only one that can bring it. Well, he even said, at any point in time in history, I got 7,000 men, they bowed their knee to the devil. You ain't got to worry about God. You ain't got to defend him. Defend the faith. That's what he tells us to do. Don't defend him. Defend the faith that you believe in. So work it. Live up to the faith. Live up to the measure that you have in you. Live it up. Live up to it. Say, God, you gave me faith. So now I need to start living up to the measure of this faith. Well, God, how do I do that? I need to start loving. Look, God, you gave me a gift. How do I live up to that? I need to start loving. I need to trust you in it. I know that you're going to test me, and it's only a test. And I'm going to pass the test because I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. Yeah. I'm going to trust you, and I know you're going to guide me out of this thing and get me through this thing, and I'm going to glorify you with this thing.
Yes.
I could talk about this all day. It's so simple to me. And I'm praying that I'm breaking it down for you for it to be simple, because until it gets into your spirit simplicity, we don't even need to go on to that extra stuff. Ain't no reason for me to go into all the extra stuff. If love is the key,
love is the key, yes.
Use your key. Open the door and walk in. He said he stands at the doors and knocks. You know what opens the door on your end to him? Love.
Yes.
Oh, that's Jesus, though. I love him. Let me open my door.
Yes.
He's standing door knocking right now. He said he waiting for his saints to open up the door of love. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. Continue to bless us as we study the love. Let us not raise any gift above your glory, but let us learn how to love with your gift, that you may be glorified and that the body of Christ may be edified. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening around the world. We always want you to be encouraged, blessed, at peace, and do what?
Walk in truth.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.